Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We often speak about the trials and tribulations of the state of California. That's my birth state. And many say, why? Well, it's been a predictor of things to come for many socially and politically aligned states, but more importantly, so many of the most innovative advances in many different sectors of the business community and otherwise in the way we live start in California. But has California become a victim to woke-utopia and now is nothing more than a major contradiction? Dr. Victor Davis Hanson from the National Review contributor joins us. He's also the author of a book, The Case for Trump, joins us to talk about a recent article that he wrote entitled California, America's First Third World State. Dr. Hanson, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I read your article and was really intrigued by a number of the observations. When you think back historically, how forward-leaning the state of California was in so many different respects as a leader in this country and one of the most powerful economies, state economies in this country. And for some reason, it's almost all for naught, and it seems to be on a very slippery slope headed to where, I'm not sure, but it doesn't look like it's a pretty picture. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's an accurate summation if you just survey the whole landscape. I mean, we have now the highest basket of sales, gasoline, and income taxes, and yet our infrastructure is rated about dead last. And our education system is the bottom 10% of the nation's public schools. 27% of Californians were not born in the United States. So that's a lot of burden on state facilities to bring people, many of them who were poor when they arrived, without skills or education up to parity. We have 140,000 homeless, about a fourth to a fifth of the nation's homeless. You can see them on the streets about Los Angeles or San Francisco. We're getting pre-modern disease back again, like hepatitis A and typhoid, due to the fact that we've got tens of thousands of people who are defecating, urinating, eating among rats and fleas and lice. And these are all very progressive cities, so it's kind of a disconnect for this loud caring about all of these social issues, and yet right under their noses, we've got this desperate situation. Our freeways, our aqueducts, our dams, they haven't been attended to because we're not spending a third of our budget on infrastructure the way we did 40 years ago. We're spending it mostly on Medi-Cal. One out of every three Californians that goes into the hospital for anything, from a twisted ankle to a broken leg, is found to have diabetes. Where I live in the center of the state, we have dialysis clinics all up and down for mostly the migrant and Hispanic population, among whom this is an epidemic tragedy. I guess part of the reason that we've seen this change from Ronald Reagan or Pete Wilson or George Mason State is we had a kind of a perfect storm of 4 or 5 million conservative middle-class people who got fed up and moved over the last quarter century, and then probably about 10 million who crossed the border illegally from Mexico and Central America, and then a few million who flocked into Silicon Valley and made a fortune. We have $3 trillion of market capitalization in Facebook, Google, Yahoo, and Apple. You add all of it up, you've got sort of a medieval society of very wealthy people who virtue signal their caring, and yet their own lives, they put their kids in prep school, they don't drive on the decrepit freeways, they don't socialize with the people of their affection. And then we've got a vast underclass. One third of all welfare recipients live in the state.
You know, it was interesting when I read the article because here in Louisiana, when we think about the percentage of folks that live at or near the poverty level. We always rank as one of the worst states in the country in so many of these indicators. But when I began looking at a lot of what you quoted in your article, in many respects, I go back to the statistics here. We're better off than California. And California seems to be this, as you point out, this huge contradiction where it's the largest state economy in the United States, more American billionaires living in this state, the most high-income zip codes, but yet they have the highest of the high and the lowest of the low, and as you just pointed out, nothing left in the middle. When we think about the progressives, and most recently the California governor saying that the Republican Party is headed into the waste bin of history, and you more recently look at the comments of Mayor Garcetti that's now facing recall effort because of his inability to deal with the homeless population and so many of the social ills, where does this end for them? I mean, it can't tax too much more. There's really no capacity to do it in many respects. Their state income tax is double what it is here in Louisiana.
Yeah, and remember that with the new federal tax legislation, you can only write off $10,000 in state and local taxes. Many Californians, at least the 1%, remember that out of 40 million residents, only 160,000 pay half the income tax. And we can't afford to lose very many of them, and yet their taxes just soared with the end of the federal deduction. And yet the state now is trying to just had an internet tax. It wants a 1% restaurant tax, and now it wants an inheritance tax. And we're going to lose even more. And each time we lose one, we're more and more vulnerable.
It was interesting that inheritance tax, I think, is at a threshold of $3 million in total assets. I mean, so many people can get there relatively easy, especially with property values out there.
Yeah, absolutely. You can own a tract house in Palo Alto or Los Angeles. It can be worth $1.5 million. It would be worth, you know, $100,000 in Nevada, Utah, or Nebraska. So where does it all end? Well, it has to change the conditions that created it. So of the 40% Hispanics, will they quit voting in block for Democrats and become like sort of Italian Americans did? That is, if your name was Cuomo or Giuliani, you could no longer predict their political affiliation. A lot of Hispanics lived in the center of the state, Fresno, to a lesser degree, San Jose, Sacramento, Bakersfield. They're paying the highest gasoline in the country. They're paying the highest electricity rates. Very hot here today. They can't afford to turn the air conditioning units on. Will they get angry at the people in Sacramento that they usually vote for and dwell on, you know, rules against shooting bobcats or mandatory transgender restrooms or, you know, banning straws? I don't know, but that could happen. And then second, would the middle class ever return or reformulate? I don't see that happening because of the tax structure and the regulatory climate, unless there's just a mass revolt, as we did with 187. One real quick thing is that when Newsom said that, he was talking about Prop 187, the 1994 ballot proposition that he said destroyed the Republican Party, that banned not emergency but health care for state health care expenditures for illegal immigrants. And what he didn't tell his audience was it passed by 60%.
Right.
And it created Pete Wilson was losing in the governor race against Kathleen Brown. He won because of that. And 3 days later, a federal judge declared it unconstitutional. One judge did. He nullified millions of voters, 60% of the voters. And when that happened, it sent a green light to people that said, you know what, come to California. It's the only state in the union where it's legal now to get free benefits. And we had a huge influx that changed the demography. And then second, people got so disgusted after that and a few other things that they started leaving the state. So it was changed demography. It wasn't anger at the Republican Party. The Republican Party constituency disappeared, not because its message was unattractive, just because people felt, you know what, they're never going to be able to change the state, and I'm not going to wait around until they regain power because They've destroyed my small business. They're taxing me at 12% of my income. My gas is too high. I've got too many Cal OSHA inspectors in my plant. I'm getting out of here.
Yeah.
And then I don't want to put my kids in the public schools. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to go to a public place. I don't want to walk in the streets of San Francisco. So they left. And for, they thought the state got worse. For people coming from Central America or Southern Mexico, they got here and they thought, this is so much better in Southern Mexico. I like it, and I'm going to bring my family here. And well, that's the dynamic that destroyed the state.
Absolutely. It's going to be interesting to see where this goes, because all they keep talking about are more taxes, and I'm not sure that the state has the capacity to do that. Dr. Hansen, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate your insight and truly enjoyed your article.
Thank you.
All righty. We'll be right back. Want to hear from you, 260-1870. Is California suffering from woketopia? We'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL. On a text line, how can the fifth largest economy in the world be a third world state with a budget surplus? Compare that, for example, with Louisiana that has to beg for over 40% of its state's budget from the taxpayers in California and other blue states. And by the way, they survived their last Republican administration that ran a state in deep debt just like Louisiana has. Well, there's no doubt that Bobby Jindal ran this state into deep debt over a $2 billion budget deficit. The interesting point, though, is the way they did it is by taxing people to death. And it just keeps going on and on. Highest gasoline taxes in the country. Their income tax, ours is 6%. Theirs is either 12.5% or 13% state income tax, over and above your federal income taxes. And remember that with the new tax code, you're limited as it relates to $10,000 on SALT, state and local taxes, and being able to write that off. There's now a health care tax. There's a restaurant tax. There's one tax after the other. Prop 13 froze some the state homestead taxes that are there, as well as local homestead taxation. But they've done an incredible job of taxing you in so many innovative ways in California. Now there's an inheritance tax there, $3 million. To put this in its proper perspective, a 1,600 or 1,700 square foot tract home, depending on where it is in California, would be valued here at about $140,000, might be worth $1.4 million there. So when you think about $3 million as it relates to what we're used to here, as to what it is there, they're taxing you on inheritance doesn't really have to go very far down the wealth track before you're impacted. So you work hard each and every day. You gain a few bucks. You're a spendthrift. You save your money. You do whatever, in order to leave it for the next generation, your kids, so that they're better off than you. Not in California. They want no part of that. They want to take it from you. They want their share. They want to share in the largesse of you being able to save your money. Why? Because they suffer from what I call woketopia. Social progressives think they can find a solution to every social ill that's out there. And the way they do it is by taxing others and trying to provide these services for these folks, and it doesn't change. That's why there's now a recall effort for Los Angeles Mayor Garcetti. They have spent millions upon millions upon millions of dollars in giveaways for the homeless, and guess what happened? They have more homeless. If you're just going to give it away, they will come. Everything's going to be free. And in fact, if you listen to the candidates today, free education, free health care. Some candidates are talking about $1,000 a month stipend. Hell, we were born before our time. If I add all of this up before it's all said and done, that $25,000 a year job, you may be able to just call it 6-2 and even over and out, not have to do anything else, because everything's going to be free. I don't know. You tell me. 260-1870 or text 870-870. What do you think about Woketopia when we return? If you read this article, you're going to get anything but good vibrations. On the text line, hey, Sheriff, don't you think that California is the epitome of what the nation become if we allow this new democratic socialism to take over? Yeah, I mean, you know, when you begin to look at the underlying demographics and some of the statistics that are presented here, it is really scary, as was pointed out by Dr. Hansen. You're now seeing typhus, hepatitis A, and, you know, because of needles, feces, and refuse all over the streets in the major cities in California, San Francisco, L.A., San Diego. You know, they're seeing all kinds of different issues with fleas, lice, rats. It's incredible. You've heard me talk about this culture of noncompliance, and I see where we're crossing that threshold here in this city, and it's why I go out to the West Coast for these warning signs, and I love what Dr. Hansen put in his article. I'm going to read it to you. He says, in Californian logic, public defecation butts up against progressive tolerance. So public defecation is exempt from the law. So you can defecate in public, and it's not illegal. But if you're a suburbanite, to build a patio without a permit, for example, you will pay dearly in fines, because indeed a new patio without a permit can be deemed more dangerous than crapping in public and having piles of excrement in public workplace. Makes sense to me. We want to make our restaurateurs pay for one table and two chairs on the sidewalk, but we can let anybody go open up a business anywhere we want in the city on public property, pull up a trailer, have a barbecue pit, open up a chicken store, you know, cook chicken, hamburgers, hot dogs, no health permit, no occupational license, no sales tax paid. Same thing going on here. Much more advanced, though. This is after years and years and years of this development of noncompliance in this whole theory, social progressive woketopia. We're going to let this progressive tolerance, because we would be otherwise insensitive if we don't deal with these issues, if we deal with the issue. We're heartless. We have no blood in our veins. But we're not looking far enough down the path to see what the predetermined outcome is definitely going to be. So when we think about the fact of what a number of people have texted in and say, well, how can it be, you know, this when it's got such a robust economy? Well, you know, 25% of the folks that live in California live below the poverty line. A fifth of their population, 20%, another 20%, excuse me, are near poverty. One-third of welfare recipients in the entire United States live in California, has the highest homeless population in the U.S. 22% of the homeless live in California. And I misspoke earlier when we talked about this inheritance tax. That tax, at over $3 million in your value of your estate, they want to tax it at 40%. And you want to know why government has a surplus? Do the math. Old math, new math, doesn't matter what math. It won't take you long to figure that out. They have a surplus because they have Californians' money. We'll be right back after the break. This is Newell on WWL. Yeah, you're going to love this text. California is a great example of what the United States can be. I don't understand how you could use it as an example of negativity. Furthermore, defecating is a natural human and animal thing to do and is no way permanent. Or example like a patio, it's real simple logic. Until they defecate on your doorstep to your business and they camp out on your doorstep and they dump their hypodermic needles as they're walking into your retail outlet you're paying all of these taxes for. Because now in California, they allow you a 10 by 10 space to pitch a tent and store all of your goods without any enforcement. So now they have the right to just basically expropriate 100 square feet of public space for their personal use. So just imagine, if you will, if everybody gets a little Morgan shed, a little 10 by 10, and they go stick it out on the seawall overlooking Lake Pontchartrain, so that every afternoon they can drive out there and go into their little Morgan shed and, you know, have a few cocktails, entertain a few guests, maybe get one of those little generators, a little air conditioning, a couple of little fans, and we can just line up 10 by 10 Morgan sheds out there. Do we not qualify? Why can't anyone just go and expropriate the land for whatever they want to do as well? Let's go to line one, talk to Raymond out in La Place. What say you, Raymond?
Hey, how you doing, Noah?
Good, and you?
Just go to a Saints game and watch all the people sell alcohol and drink. Vans pull up on the side of Parger Street and open up the sides, and it's a bar. Now, none of these people have taxes for liquor license or anything. There was even a wagon that pulled up. I don't understand. And the cops are right there. They see it. They know it's going on. They allow it to go on. And it's right across from City Hall. How in the world does the businesses feel down Pontius? Because they're losing money, and they pay all the taxes. They got the appropriate licenses, everything. I mean, I don't understand.
Well, you don't understand the same way that I don't understand, because what people tell me, that's our culture. And I keep trying to go back in history to try and figure out at what point in time where the crossroads were, where we went down this road that said non-compliance, and that became our culture here in this city, that we could just expropriate public property for our own personal gain, and it didn't matter. We could do so without any consequence. We could do no permits, no anything. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, it's capitalism at its best. No cost. No cost of entry into business. Or I should say, minimize cost.
Ice chest, beer, and you have a barroom.
Yeah, absolutely. And open air. Because, you know, how many people want a rooftop bar and they can't get it?
That's what I'm saying.
But all you got to do is, you know, 8 home games during the season, 2 preseason games, 10 weekends. You can have an open-air bar in this city and pay no taxes, no licenses, no nothing, and just go sell beer and wine or whatever else you want to sell without any consequence. And you don't have to go down there and deal with that morass of problems and trying to get a permit. It is a beautiful thing.
And now it's spread.
Yep, Raymond, I'm sorry. We got a bad connection. Got to get to a break. We'll come back to the talk lines when we return. This is Newell on WWL. And, you know, there are a number of other issues that we talked about that folks are trying to suggest that we take seriously that they've done in California. And what happened? San Francisco now has the highest property crime rate per capita of any major city in the country. The California prison system is a mess. Sanctuary cities ensure that illegal aliens charged with crimes can't get deported, and they end up going on the public dole. That's a great outcome. Californians also get the benefit of the highest utility rates in the country. They also get the benefit of rolling blackouts. And recently it's been reported that the utility infrastructure is responsible for causing any number of the wildfires. And your federal tax dollars that you're paying are going to help deal with those issues because they're not reinvesting in the infrastructure itself. Why? Because corporate taxes and otherwise are so high they can't afford to reinvest in themselves. Why? Because they're completely, totally engaged in woketopia and providing all of these social services because they're just going to keep taxing the middle class, the middle class, the middle class. And where's the middle class? They're in Utah now. They're in Idaho. They're in Arizona. They've done left. Let's go to Preston on line two. What say you, Preston?
Hey, good morning. Thanks good morning. For taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Back in the early 70s, I spent some time in California because I was stationed in Southern California. And back then, if you threw a piece of paper in the ground, you'd have got more time in jail than if you'd murdered somebody because it was pristine and they took care of everything. But 2 years ago, I had to go out there for some insurance work after the fires, and I was never so shocked in all my life to watch the transformation of a place that I thought was paradise. Well, as I went back there, I've never seen so many homeless in my entire life, and I've been clear across this country many times. One bridge in Santa Rosa had 500 homeless living under it, one little overpass. They blocked the streets off, and it was their area. Once a month, the police would round them up and take them to give them showers. They would also drop off needles and stuff like that for them, so they wasn't reusing needles. The whole thought process of the way they do things in California today is exactly backwards. We shouldn't follow anything they do in California because everything they do is wrong. It's a giveaway place. They give a lot of money away to a lot of people, and the only thing that comes to California is somebody looking for a getaway, a giveaway.
And yeah, I just don't see where this accommodation of an illegal lifestyle is going to get you to a better place. It's certainly not getting you to utopia. You might get to woketopia, but you're not getting to utopia.
There's no doubt. And I happened to sit down in a restaurant and talk to one of the police chiefs in one of the small towns, and he was waiting for his retirement so he could get the hell out. And he was going to go to Nevada. He absolutely hated it because he had no ability to do anything to enforce any kind of law.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about California, though? It is a contradiction because when you go to higher ed, they got the finest higher ed institutions in the country, if not the world. But you go to lower ed, they're in the bottom decile of in every category there as well. Major contradiction. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.